To the left-hand side for Vieira, who'll play it through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel Keller, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Hope you're all good. Hope you're all well. Welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, which is part of the 90 Min Football family. Delighted to say I'm in the brand spanking new 90 Min podcast booth. It's not quite finished yet. There's still a few touches that need to be added, but it's great to be up and running. Hopefully you can see me in crystal clear quality. Hopefully the audio is coming through nice and strong as well. Let me know in the comments, those of you that are watching us live, listening to the episode as well. Really, really do appreciate your support and your patience, because I'm a little bit late starting, just trying to get everything in working order. Big game coming up tomorrow night. Arsenal entertain Bayern Munich at the Emirates Stadium. We've got a score to settle with Bayern. It certainly feels like that, doesn't it? Given the history between the two clubs in this competition. If you add to that the Harry Kane factor as well, there's plenty of narrative around this one. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not feeling too nervous. And that's not to be disrespectful to Bayern or their qualities. I think they're a really good side, despite what their Bundesliga position looks like, despite the fact that, you know, we know they're going through a bit of a change at the moment. Thomas Tuchel's leaving the club in the summer. It's put them in a sticky situation, I guess, is how I would describe it. But they're still a squad and a team stacked with talent. They've got a very experienced coach, someone who's managed in the Premier League, knows all about English football, but has also taken a team on to winning this very competition. So I'm not sitting here writing them off. I'm not sitting here taking them lightly. But I think, because we go into this game having just done our bit in the Premier League, having just come off the back of a weekend that saw us go top on Saturday night and stay there, I think we can go in this pretty relaxed, like not in the sense of take them lightly, et cetera, but in the sense of, you know, you've done your bit in the Premier League. You can put that on the back burner for a few days and you can focus fully on this Champions League tie without having any regret about what happened at the weekend. I don't even think you should allow yourself to fall into the trap of thinking about the upcoming weekend. I know we've got that game against Aston Villa sandwiched in between the two legs, which isn't ideal, but I think we're in a good position to go into this game and enjoy the occasion for what it is. It's Arsenal back in the quarterfinals of the Champions League for the first time, I should say, in a very, very long time. So let's enjoy it. Let's take it all in. The atmosphere is going to be incredible at the Emirates Stadium tomorrow. I'm certain of that. And I'm looking forward to going down there and enjoying it all and taking it all as a fan. Let's see what you guys are saying in the live chat. Big hello to Henry. We've got Paul. We've got Glenn. Adair joins us. He says, glad to catch an episode live. It's been a while. Cheers to H and the Chronicles family. Good weekend for the Arsenal. Can't wait for Bayern. If ever there was a time to get over that hump, it is now. Christoph says, good morning / afternoon to all, depending on where you're listening from, of course. Let's do this Bayern thing, Harry. Evan says, what's going on, Harry? Buzzing at the top of the league. That shirt doesn't fit the aspect. Lots of you getting a bit upset at the fact that I'm wearing an FC Porto shirt. If you're listening on the radio, on the audio, you won't be able to see, but I'm wearing a Porto away kit. Now, let me just be clear about this. I got this before we drew FC Porto in the Champions League. I got this when I went to visit Porto when they played Barcelona back in September or October, I think it was, maybe even November, actually. I went over to Portugal, took in the game, got the kit, whatever. Didn't know that we were going to play them. But once we drew them, I was like, well, I can't really wear this now. But as somebody really eloquently put it in the 90 Min chat a little bit earlier on today, this is me wearing the skin of our last victims. And someone said in the chat that I'm going to end up wearing a buying kit next week. Maybe, maybe. Delise, who says the booth looks very good. Thank you very much, my friend. What else have we got? Daniel West says, hi, Harry. Let me guess, 90 Min Towers. Absolutely. Steve says, this competition is the one where Arsenal, as a club, needs to mature. Our European history is rubbish. Paul also says, Bayern struggle with teams that do a hard press. Leverkusen demonstrated that we thrive when teams want to play football. Delisu says, hi, Harry, are you deliberately matching the background with that Porter shot? I'm not, but it fits in really, really well, doesn't it? Look, I've talked a lot about how we can't afford to take Bayern lightly. And the reason you can't is because you just look at the group of players that they have at their disposal. You know, you look at what they put out the other day in terms of a lineup. Harry Kane up front, Gnabry, Musiala and Muller played in behind him. Leon Goretzka in midfield. They've got a pretty good centre-back partnership of Kim Min-jae and Deo Upamecano. Alphonso Davies is in the side as well. Joshua Kimmich is a player that we've been quite heavily linked with recently. I'm interested to see how he gets on. He is someone that's playing at right back at the moment, but that does drift into different areas. And look, the reason people are, despite the talent that Bayern have, saying, you know what, hold on, they're a side that you should really be beating given their current state. They're 16 points off of Bayer Leverkusen at the top of the Bundesliga at the moment. It's a big old gap. And so you can understand why people around the club feel like they're in a bit of a crisis. But I actually think the fact that they're out of the Bundesliga title race probably makes them a little bit more dangerous. It probably does make them, you know, look at the Champions League through a very different lens. They're probably looking at it and thinking, well, this is our last chance of glory. Thomas Tuchel, who has nothing to gain really by where Bayern finish in the Bundesliga for next season because he's not going to be in charge, thinks, if I could put another Champions League win on my CV, that would be absolutely brilliant. And so I think the fact that they don't have that concern about the game in between the two legs that they're going to play, or at least the same level of concern that we would because of how, you know, precarious our position is in the title race at the moment, I think it's going to be a fascinating encounter. You can never write off these teams that are stacked with talent, regardless of the form. We saw it from Manchester United yesterday, and I know we haven't spoken since then, but Manchester United were poor, man. They were really, really poor for large periods against Liverpool yesterday. They've somehow managed to get a point from the game. And but for a silly, silly challenge from Aaron Wan-Bissaka, they might have got all three. And that was because in the moments, the individual talent stepped up. Liverpool weren't clinical enough when they needed to be, which can happen to any player, no matter how good you are. You can have an off day. You can have, you can have one of those games where it's just all going wrong, where you've forgotten your shooting boots, et cetera, et cetera. But when you come up against quality opposition, you can be punished for that. And whatever you say about Bayern and this current iteration of them and the problems that they've experienced this season, to say that they don't have talent is disingenuous because they do. They have bags and bags of it. Harry Kane has turned up at the Emirates Stadium how many times and scored? Mainly from the penalty spot, but, you know, the point stands. He's been a player that's been a constant thorn in our side. Does our record against Bayern in the competition have any bearing on what we're going to see unfold at the Emirates tomorrow? I don't think it does. And the reason I don't think it does is because it's something that we as supporters carry because we've kind of got that trauma of having experienced it all those years ago. But if you're Gabriel or Saliba or Declan Rice or Bukayo Saka or Gabriel Martinelli, why would you carry the ghosts of the past? You weren't involved in those defeats. You weren't a part of that team. You weren't a part of that group, a part of that squad. This is a new Arsenal and a side that is experiencing things for the very first time. And so the excitement and the adrenaline alone should be enough to kind of override that anxiety that we as fans are maybe feeling because of the history with Bayern in this competition. What I will say is, though, is like to dismiss what history and know-how at this level can bring, I think would be wrong, because you look at the game against Porto over two legs, you know, going into that tie, we were by far the better side. we were the side that everyone looked at and said, well, they're going to wipe the floor with Porto. That felt like the dream draw. And then we played them and they made it difficult for us. And they closed all the right spaces down because they had a really good tactician of a manager. Thomas Tuchel is that. They had less talented players than Bayern, I would say. But they still managed to make it incredibly difficult for Arsenal to the point where we got through via a penalty shootout. So, you know, although I'm saying that Arsenal are in a great place, that Bayern aren't in a great place, and that the history of the tie doesn't matter, know-how, experience, and being streetwise in this competition can get you quite a long way. And I think we learned that in the last round. So I've said I'm not nervous, and I'm not nervous because I think my excitement is overriding that. But I'm not taking Bayern lightly, and I don't think anybody should. You look at the players that they've got. You look at the experience of the manager. You look at the fact that this is a massive occasion. You look at the fact as well that the second leg is in Munich. I think that's a massive advantage to Bayern, because they can turn up at the Emirates Stadium tomorrow and it's not about going out there and trying to win the game, really. It's more about making sure that they stay in the tie. And if they can do that, then they will fancy themselves on their own patch against anybody in the world, let alone an Arsenal side that, yeah, are playing really well at the moment, but are very inexperienced at this level and in this competition. Let's take a few more of your comments and questions, and I'm going to share with you guys the starting lineup I would pick for this one. Lots of you are making reference to their game against Heidenheim in the Bundesliga at the weekend. Let me just bring you up to speed with what happened there. So Bayern Munich took on Heidenheim, and Bayern went into a two-goal lead. Harry Kane, former Spurs man and former Arsenal man, Serge Gnabry, got the goals. But Heidenheim pulled one back on the 50th minute. On the 51st minute, they made it 2-2. And on 79, they won the game and ended up taking all 3 points, 3-2. And that left Bayern, as I mentioned a little bit earlier on, 16 points behind Bayer Leverkusen. Now, Thomas Tuchel had already conceded the Bundesliga title prior to this game. So you can imagine how he's feeling about that now. And again, that plays into that narrative of it's all or nothing for Bayern in the Champions League. And when you've got an experienced and talented side, that can be all you need. That bit of motivation without any distractions. Andrew says, we just need to play our normal game and we will win comfortably. But if we park the bus, that is dangerous, in my opinion. I think you're absolutely spot on. I don't think Arsenal should park the bus. I think Arsenal have found a really sort of balanced way of playing this season. And that's partly why we look so strong at the minute. And that's because we've been able to attack effectively, but also protect ourselves against counterattacks and control games in a way where we allow opposition to have the ball at times. We're not, you know, one of those teams that has 80, 90% possession. Not that there are many of those about, but, you know, that's not where we're trying to go. I think at times we're quite happy for the opposition to have the ball as long as we're showing them into the areas that we feel we can defend well in. And I think that's going to be kind of what Arsenal are probably going to have to do in this game. Go back to that City game at the Etihad. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of the ball. I think we had less than 30% of the possession. But we controlled where Manchester City had the majority of their possession. And we were able to defend effectively as a result of that. We sort of shepherded them into the right areas. There will be times in this tie where Bayern have a lot of the ball. There will be times where Bayern create chances, because Bayern are too good a team to not have anything, to not have a sniff. And I think it's really, really important that we're aware of that and that we don't panic when those moments come. I don't think we will, because I think if you can handle Manchester City and you can execute the right game plan against quality opposition like them, then you've got no reason to fear Bayern. But it might be a tie and it might be a game on Tuesday night where we don't have it all our own way from the beginning till the end. And we've got to accept that and just make sure that we stay concentrated in those moments. But generally, yeah, I'm not suggesting for a minute that Arsenal mess about with the core sort of values and principles of their game or anything like that, because I think we do need to try and impose ourselves as well. There's a balance that you need to find, isn't there? Dinesh says, Jorginho or Partey. We'll get onto that in a little bit, because I am going to share with you guys the lineup that I would pick to play Bayern Munich. We're also going to share a bit of a prediction as well. Farid says, all my hope is in that back line. Sunska says, honestly speaking, I have a lot of confidence in our team that we can do it. If we're going to keep the ball and play in their half and have a purpose for a goal. Yeah, I think there'll be times where we have them pinned back, of course. But I think generally speaking, we're going to have to accept and figure out how to defend against the fact that Bayern are going to have some of the ball as well. Because they keep saying, look at their Bundesliga results all you like. Look at the fact that they threw away a two-goal lead against Heidenheim all you like. The fact of the matter is that they've got so many good players. And when in an all-or-nothing tie, which this feels like it is, you need to be a very, very wary and careful. Steve Stone hits the nail on the head. Any team that reaches this stage of the competition needs to be respected. Absolutely. Ian Wallace says the fact that they have nothing to play for now makes them dangerous. Mix that in with pedigree. It won't be easy. Yep. A big hello to the Wandering Minstrel as well. Hope you're all good, my friend. Kai says, yes, Harry, big up yourself. One of the sensible Arsenal fans on here. Love the content. God bless. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Hacker says, what's the tactical game plan to handle a Harry Kane? Well, Harry Kane is an interesting one because I think that Gabriel and Saliba will back themselves to handle Harry Kane across the ground, if that makes sense. So I don't think they'll be sitting off deep or deeper than usual from fear of Harry Kane running in behind them with pace. I think both of them will be pretty confident that in a foot race they could beat Harry Kane. I think where it becomes slightly complicated with Harry Kane is that he likes to drop into those deeper pockets of space. And the wingers make runs beyond him. And he's very, very good at getting on the ball, playing passes on the turn, et cetera, and releasing other players. So it might be a case of you have to put one of those guys on him and let them stick to him like glue. Because what can happen is when you don't do that and you try and pass him on from the sort of the attentions of the centre back to maybe one of the deeper lying midfield players, that's when you can lose someone for half a second. They can create that slight bit of space and then they can punish you. So I think it's very, very important that Arsenal do have a plan for Harry Kane. And I think the plan should be for one of the centre backs to be aggressive on him. I think it will probably be Gabriel. I think he did a really good job of that on Erling Haaland with William Saliba playing as that kind of spare man, being able to kind of clean up and support when he needs to. I think that's the way to go. I think it's give Gabriel the task of handling Harry Kane. But in order to do that, I really do think it's important who you pick at left back. And we're going to come on to this in a bit. I'm not going to tell you my team yet, but I definitely wouldn't be picking Oleksandr Zinchenko if I'm going to accept the fact that Gabriel is going to have to go searching at points or drifting at points in order to try and keep Harry Kane quiet. Per Jensen says, I think we need a two-goal cushion at home to bring us some security going to Germany after a tough game with Villa at the weekend. It would be nice if we had a two-goal cushion, and I think we're certainly capable of achieving that, but it's the Champions League, and at this point, going into the game, I would just take any victory over Bayern and you know that, and having that cushion, some cushion, whatever the cushion is, going to the Allianz, I think is going to be important. Len says, any update on Timber, anyone? There was a video going around earlier today of Jurrien Timber out training with some of the Arsenal coaches, which is, of course, great to see, but I don't know when he'll be in the team or anything like that. I'm sure we're going to get a press conference a little bit later on today. They're normally the evening before in the Champions League. Comment here. I'm also hearing Coman and Sane are both fit. Personally, I'm a bit worried and I don't think Zinchenko can start. Yeah, I wouldn't start Zinchenko in this game. We heard that Sane was injured, but there's been rumours and reports that he's been back training. So it's going to be interesting to see whether he's in the side. Diego asks, Harry, where do you think Bayern can hurt us the most? Gnabry and Musiala are my biggest worries, more than Kane. Velocity out wide and shots from afar can be a worry. Yeah, the pace in the wide areas. But it's about making sure that the rest of your team is set up so that you're not leaving your fullbacks isolated too often. And I think when you look at what we did at Manchester City, I've got great confidence in the work rate of our wingers and in the way that we set up as a unit to be able to make sure that those guys are not finding themselves in those one-on-one situations too often. I think if you are going to be in those one-on-one situations, you want Ben White to be defending on one side and probably Takahiro Tomiyasu on the other. I think Kivior's done great, but I think Tomiyasu's had a bit of time now to build himself back up towards the right fitness level. And I think he's a lot quicker along the ground. I think he's stronger. I think he's just a better one-on-one defender. And we know that Mikel Arteta thinks that because at times against certain opposition, he's scrapped the idea of playing Zinchenko at left back. Even when Zinchenko was a real big, important part of the team last season, he would take him out and put Tomiyasu in against certain opposition that he was concerned and worried about. Okay, let's take one or two more comments and then we're going to go into the team that I'd pick. Andrew says, agree, Harry, don't want to see Zinny at left back. Simon says, I'm super confident 3-0 to the mighty Reds. Come on, you Gunners. When I say that I don't want to see Zinchenko at left back, by the way, it's not, oh, he's rubbish, he's useless, get him out. I think Zinchenko's played a massive part and a massive role in getting Arsenal from where they were to where they are today. I think he's been really impressive most of the time. I just think that there are certain flaws in Oleksandr Zinchenko's game that opposition look to exploit. And I think that against the very best, you can't afford to kind of leave that door open and allow yourself to be vulnerable. That's not to say that Zinchenko's got worse or anything like that. I think Manchester City fans would have probably told you the same thing when he was playing there. He's not the most natural fit at left back. And so, you know, when he is in that position all the time and he's not given that license to drift into midfield, maybe because he's dealing with a very particular threat or a very tricky winger, you then take away what's good about Oleksandr Zinchenko. So that's why I think there are games where he's the right option. And I think there are games where he's the right fit. But I think there are certain games as well where you need a higher level of defensive capability and you're probably willing to sacrifice a little bit in terms of how much control that gives you in midfield. You have to choose your battles, don't you, with Oleksandr Zinchenko. And I just don't think that for me, he's one that I would be picking in a game against opposition like Bayern Munich. But let me share with you guys anyway, the team that I would go with. Bear with me a second. I'm getting a lot of stick for my Porto jersey. Bloody hell. Let me just repeat what I said at the start of the show. For those of you joining the live stream a little bit late, I got it before we drew them in the Champions League. And I never wore it because we were drawn against them and I didn't want to jinx anything or whatever. But now that we've beaten them, I feel like it's okay. Okay, let me share with you guys then the side that I would pick. So I would go with Raya in goal. My back four would be made up of White at right back, Saliba and Gabriel at centre back, with Takahiro Tomiyasu operating from the left. My midfield would be the midfield that I've been desperate to see all season long. Rice, Odegaard, and I'd bring Thomas Partey in. I think the decision to leave him out the other day was very deliberate and was with a view to him playing this game from the start. I'd go with our first choice wingers, in my opinion, Martinelli and Saka from the left and right. And I'd continue with Kai Havertz up front because he's just been in irresistible form. How can you take him out right now when he's playing the way he is? He's scoring goals. He's creating goals. He's putting in a great shift for the team. Will he need a rest at some point? Probably, you know, because, you know, the running is going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. We've got 8 games every 3 days or whatever. But yeah, I'd quite like to see him play in this game. I want to see him play in every game at the moment. And I'm a little bit like, I look at him and I think, can he handle it? Like, can he do it right now? He seems to be looking really strong and really fit. And I haven't looked at Kai Havertz in recent weeks and thought he looked burnt out at any point. But, you know, we got to wait and see. Some of you are suggesting that maybe Jorginho should play instead of Thomas Partey in the midfield. I wouldn't be surprised if Mikel went with that. But for me, now's the time, man. Bring him in as long as he's fit enough. And we won't know how fit he is. We won't know how capable he is and what level he's at exactly. That's for Mikel Arteta and his fitness stuff to decide. But if he is, that will be my team to take on Bayern Munich. Nearly said Porto there because you've all been getting on to me about the shirt. In terms of a prediction, I'm going to make a bold prediction. I'm going to go with Arsenal 2, Bayern Munich 0. I think we're good enough to keep a clean sheet. I think we're good enough to break them down. And if we can go to the Allianz Arena next week with a 2-0 lead, I'd really fancy us of making it through to the semi-finals of the Champions League for the first time in what feels like an age, and setting up that showdown probably with Manchester City. I'm hoping that Real Madrid can get through that one, but I look at Manchester City, I look at how they swatted Real Madrid aside last year. I know that City aren't at the same level maybe as they were last year. It's certainly not at this point as we're recording this anyway. But I still think they'll have enough probably. And that semi-final is going to be massive if we can both make it through, because of the implications that those two legs could have on the title race as well. Somebody put a really great tweet out earlier on. And I just want to share what it said. I think it was from You Are My Arsenal, and I retweeted it. He got it from someone else because he said, just saw the best tweet concerning Arsenal this season. Pressure, the pressure that we're feeling, that is the privilege. And whilst the pressure is difficult to deal with and it feels like you're going through this emotional roller coaster at the minute every 3 days, to be in this position where we're talking about Arsenal maybe making it to the semi-finals of the Champions League, to be in the position where we're leading the league with 7 games to go, yeah, there are pressures that come with that. There are stresses that come with that. But I'll tell you what, this is where we've been longing to be for such a long time. The destination that we end up at might not be the one that we dreamed of, but we got to enjoy the ride, surely. And that's why I'm turning up to the Emirates Stadium tomorrow, absolutely buzzing with regards to what's ahead. I remember sort of people used to say to me when we were going through that run of getting Bayern and getting Barca and all of that, people used to say to me, oh, for God's sake, man, don't you just hate those draws? And I used to think to myself, do you know what? Not really, because that's the privilege of being in the Champions League. The amount of buzz that I felt when I was heading down to the Emirates to watch us play against the world's best. You know, you don't get that buzz against Wigan. You don't get that buzz, with all due respect, against Porto. You don't get that buzz against some of the, shall we say, less glamorous clubs in the competition. This is what it's all about. So let's enjoy it. Let's embrace it. Let's enjoy the ride. And where we end up, well, we're just going to have to, I guess, wait and see. But that was my starting lineup. I'll just repeat it for those of you listening on audio. Raya in goal. White, Saliba, Gabriel, and Tomiyasu would be my back four. My midfield trio would be Partey, Rice, and Odegaard, with a front three of Martinelli, Saka, and Kai Havertz. That's what I'd go with. Let me know yours in the comments section down below. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, please leave a like on the video. If you're listening on audio, please do leave us a review. Let me know if the sound quality, video quality is all good. It's the first time I'm using this. It's kind of like a self-operating new podcast setup here that we have at the 90 Min studio. So yeah, still adjusting it, still tweaking it, still trying to get it right. But yeah, let me know what you think. And yeah, we'll be back again, of course, on Wednesday morning. I think maybe we'll do it late on Tuesday night, just depending on timings and stuff. But we'll certainly be back on Wednesday with a review. And we might be back tomorrow with some other form of content. Turn your notifications on, and that way, when I decide to do a random stream, you'll know about it. I'll catch you all on the next one. Thank you all so, so much for joining me. You've been listening to the Chronicles of Aguna podcast, part of the 90 Min Football family. I'll see you all soon. Until the next one, goodbye.